Thank you for tuning in to the Pentecostals of Greenville podcast. Our goal is to reach, connect, and equip. We hope this message blesses you. If you want any more information about our church, please visit us at thepentecostalsofgreenville.com.
It's in Luke chapter 15, looking at verse 25. This is the tail end of a very popular story, and we usually stop reading where today we're going to begin reading. And it's the end of the prodigal son story, and it starts in verse 25 by saying, "Now his elder son, the other brother, he was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, your brother's come home, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again. That he was lost, and now he's found." I just want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the simple subject of the other brother. The other brother. Would you lift up a hand towards heaven, and God, would you just begin to ask the Lord to minister to you today? That God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would minister to us and speak to us. Lord, that you would have your way, Lord. God, that you would allow us, Lord, to be pliable today. That, Lord, you would put us on the potter's wheel, Lord, that you would make me and mold me, Lord Jesus, into what you want. Lord, let me be teachable this morning, God. Let me be pliable, Lord Jesus, that as your word goes forth, Lord, I pray let it fall on good ground in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Oh, come on. We could do a little better job than that. Come on. Hasn't he been good to you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. We see within the prodigal son story that the father has two boys. Two sons. Somebody say two. There's two of them. That his younger son that we have come accustomed to, he's known as the prodigal son. This son, he runs off and he takes his inheritance and he runs away and he quickly recognizes that living alone in this world, it does not compare to where he came from and what he had. And it's a reminder of the people of God this morning that everything that the world has is just a generic version of what you and I have. We went to New Bern yesterday for a quick just trip to see the city. And we went by The Coke store. Just kidding. The Pepsi store. We went by and somebody help me here. It's the first Pepsi store right there in New Bern. I took a picture of it. This was the original location that even before it was called Pepsi, it was called, somebody help me. Anybody know what it was called? There we go. It was called that, whatever that was. And it was a cool little place, and we go in, and as we're going in, it was almost closing time. It was getting close to them shutting down, but even as they were closing, there were people taking pictures next to the sign at the front of the building, and they were eager to get the glass bottled Pepsi, and I mean, they had material all over the place, t-shirts and hats, and they had the Mountain Dew gear and all of the product in the store, and it just kind of made me think to myself, people are coming here because this is the real deal. We don't know where the RC Cola shop is. Come on, somebody. I don't know where the first Dr. Thunder store is, right? You know, like we're not in line to go get our picture next to the Sam's Club brand of cola. That we're not out there taking our picture. They're at the Pepsi store and they're getting in line and they're taking their picture and they're getting the soda because it is the real deal. It is, man, this is the authentic, this is the homegrown, this is the real stuff. This is where it originated, and we're excited to come and see and witness where it all began. And you don't see those lines formed out there for just the generic version, the knockoff version, colas, because this is the real deal. I've come to let somebody know this morning in this Acts 2:38 Holiness Church, you've come to the real deal today. Come on, we are praising a real and living God today. We're excited because there's a God in heaven that really hears the call of his people, that really does care about you. And here's the prodigal son. He went out and he tried that knockoff version cola. No good. You know, He tried doing that frozen pizza on his own, and he recognized real quick, it's not like that home cooking. Come on, somebody. And it's the prodigal son that begins to recognize that here I am out on my own, getting all of the generic versions of everything that God has. I'm trying to find it in the world. That things get so bad for this prodigal son that he begins to eat the food that the pigs eat. And it's at this moment that he gets a little homesick. And I will tell you this morning that there are souls all over this world, that there are souls within our neighborhood and souls within our schools and workplace and souls within our community, that they're homesick for something more than what this world has to offer, that they are homesick for a purpose, and they are homesick for something more than just the paycheck, just something more than the title, just something more than what a Friday night club will offer them, that they were created for God's purpose, but they're far from home, and so now they're just a little homesick. Anybody get a little homesick under the sound of my voice? Come on, you get a little homesick every once in a while. Maybe, you know, you get homesick for the home that you had when you were in high school or middle school, and sometimes you think back to those moments of how great things were. And it's a little weird for me. I was born in Houston, Texas, raised in St. Louis, Missouri, skipped over to Indianapolis, went to Appleton, Wisconsin, went down to Jackson, Mississippi, back to Indianapolis, Indiana, ended up now here in Greenville, North Carolina. I was talking to my mom the other night. I've lived under 25 different roofs between being born and right now, and so when I'm homesick, I don't even really know what I'm homesick for. Welcome home. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you can think, man, I'm so homesick, and man, I wonder how things are, and then you quickly recognize all those buddies that you're homesick for, they're not there either. They're all scattered abroad, and sometimes we don't even really know what it is that we're homesick. And what we're dealing with in this season of life right now is that there are people in this world that they're homesick, yet they're not even sure where home is. They aren't sure what can heal the pain, and they're not sure what will take the hurt away. That they need help, and they need assurance, and they need comfort, and they need strength. They need peace, but they're just not sure who or what can provide it. I've come to let somebody know this morning that it's all in Jesus. That, come on, everything that you and I need, everything that you and I desire, everything that you and I hope for, it is all in Jesus. That He is God in the flesh. He is the bread of life. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the true vine, the King of glory, the chosen one, the righteous judge, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher. He is the rock and the redeemer. He is the healer and the miracle worker. He is my Savior. He is the light of the world. He is the great I Am. It is all in Him. Everything that you could desire, everything that you could want, I've come to let somebody know. It is all, come on, there ought to be somebody that gets a little excited in knowing that everything that I need in this life, it's in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you're here this morning and you're looking, you're searching, you're seeking, I've come to just let you know it's right here. It's in the name of Jesus. He's in our midst. He is in this room. He is in this place. That everything that I need, it's in Jesus. And so we see a son that's homesick. And the miracle is, the incredible thing is, he makes his way back home. And as he does, he's prepared for ridicule. He's prepared for shame. He goes back thinking, I'll just be a servant. He's prepared for the worst. He's prepared to meet a dad that's upset with him. But as we see in the book of Luke, the father, he does the direct opposite. He runs to him and he kisses him and he says, let's celebrate. Why? Because when the lost come home, what do? We celebrate. When people are filled with the gift of the Holy, what do? We celebrate that their name's been added to the Lamb's book. What do? When people go down in the name of Jesus, we celebrate. When somebody repents of their sin, we celebrate. Come on, that's what we do. We celebrate. And that's what the father's doing. That the prodigal returns and they want to celebrate. They get the band going and they get the food cooking and they put new clothes on them because the prodigal's come back home and they put a feast on and they do it because they're loved. The son is loved. And he puts new shoes on the son. Why? Because he loves him. And it's interesting to note that the servants didn't get shoes. Y'all with me? Servants didn't get shoes. It's because they didn't want them to run away. But when the father puts shoes on his son in Luke chapter 15, it was the father's way of saying, you may run away again. And you may break my heart again, but my love for you is the same. That I love you whether you're running to me, and I love you whether you're running from me, that my love is the same. And so I'm going to give you new shoes. And you might take these shoes and use them the wrong way, but I love you whether you're going, and I love you whether you're coming. That you are my child. You are my son. You are my creation. And so I'm giving you the new shoes. You might use them for wrong, but I'm giving them to you anyways. Let me tell someone under the sound of my voice that God has given you talents and abilities and giftings. He's given them to you so that you will turn around and give it back to the glory of God. But even, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning, even if you take those giftings and abilities and talents and you use them for your own gain, if you take those things that God has given you and you use them for something minor, you use them just to make a little money on your own, you use them outside of the will of God, guess what? God is still going to give you those talents. He's still going to give you those abilities. He's still going to give you those giftings. Why? Because He loves you. God that we serve today is a God that no matter what we do with the talents, that no matter what we do with the gift, that no matter what we do with the ability, He gives it to you and I anyways because He loves us no matter what. that here it is that we see the prodigal come home, and the father begins to throw the greatest party, because the father, somebody hear me this morning, the father loves his child. And just be encouraged this morning in knowing that the Lord loves his people, that the Lord loves his children, the Lord loves his sinners, that this story is beautiful because it reminds us that no matter how far away you are, Jesus loves you. He loves you despite your darkness. He loves you despite your history. He loves you despite what you've done wrong. Jesus loves you. Somebody ought to lift a hand towards heaven this morning in knowing that I serve a God that he loves me. That it doesn't matter how far you run or how dark it gets or how bad you are, he will take you back. He will take you in because he loves you. Today, I want to preach to you from a different perspective. And I want to highlight something that is often overlooked within the story of the prodigal. And it's the other brother. If you're with me, would you say amen? Amen. He's introduced in verse 25. The Bible says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. That the other brother sees that his father is celebrating, that he hears the party and he hears the loud and joyful shouting, and he sees the fire on the grill and he smells the steaks cooking, and he hears the music playing and sees the dancing take place. And it's in verse 27 and 28 that we read, it says, and he said unto him, thy brother, the servant said, thy brother is come home. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Can you put verse 28 up on the board this morning? Luke chapter 15, verse 28. So the brother, he gets recognition that his brother's come home, and he sees that they're having a party, and my brother's home. And the Bible says, and he was joyful. He was so thankful that his brothers come home. He was so excited. Oh, somebody ought to help me preach this morning. He was angry, and he would not, as one brother runs to his father, another brother leaves. As one brother is going in the home, another brother is running out of the home. Oh. Somebody hear me this morning. That as one brother is being forgiven for running from the home, running with his inheritance, running from the family, there's another brother that gets frustrated in the fact that there's forgiveness found. And what we see within this portion of Scripture as it goes on, it says, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Verse 29. Neither did I transgress I at any time thy commandment, and you've never given me a party. I've done all this for you, and I don't get a party. Go to verse 30. Look at this. The brother begins to say, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. The older other brother was saying, look at all of the wrong my younger brother's done, and you're still throwing him a party. Look at all of the mistakes. He's out with the harlots. He's devoured the living. He's run the inheritance dry. He's wasted all of his money. He's doing all the wrong. Notice, it's not the father that's bringing up the past of the son. I wish somebody could hear me this morning. Notice, it's not the father that brings up the mistakes. It's the brother. Because the Lord will never bring up your past. In fact, the Bible reminds us that he remembers our sin no more, that it's washed under the blood. But the older brother didn't forget. Church, hear me. You want to know how to sow discord and create division in the church? Bring up the past of your brother. You want to see division in this district? You want to see division in this church? You want to see division in your home? You want to see division in your marriage? You want to see division in the youth group? You want to see division in, come on, somebody, if you want to see some division, bring up the mistakes of yesterday. And hear me, church, the enemy desires and he wants nothing more than division to take place in our church, because he knows that there is absolute power in unity, that when we come together in the name of Jesus, he knows he's in trouble. He knows that there's problems. He knows that he has no foothold. When the body of Christ comes together, he knows he's in trouble. If we come together in unity, I need the strongest person in the room. This just got awkward. Okay. Christian, you're the strongest. You're the strongest in the room. Come on up. All right, Christian's going to demonstrate something. This is a very simple illustration. He's going to show those muscles off. All right. There we go. Hey, we've got a really big task for Brother Christian today, okay? I want you to take this. Careful with it now. And, you know, do you think you can rip this little 8.5 by 11 piece of paper? Now, hold on a second. Are you sure? Could be something in there. I don't know. Check it out. You think you can rip that? What do you think, Brother Christian? You think you got that? Okay. Go ahead and show us what you're made of here. Give it a rip. Oh, and you folded it. Okay. All right. Good. So let's put the piece of paper. One piece of paper, right? Okay. Valuable phone book here in Greenville, right here. Okay. Don't rip it yet. We took one piece of paper, and we just started combining them. He's looking through. He's getting nervous, all right? Okay, hey, we're going to add to it. It's just paper, right? It's just paper. We're going to add to it. Okay? But we're going to add to it. We've got another stack of paper. It's just paper, right? It was so easy at first. And my man could probably, I don't know, these are thin. You could probably give it a shot if you want. I don't know. He's still strong in my book. Give Christian a hand. Hey, look. All we did is we brought the paper together. Well, I don't know. This paper's white and this paper's yellow. This paper, where did this one come from? Look, as the body of Christ, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you... When we come together, we are strong and we are mighty. Come on, I know that some of them look a little different than the others. I know that they might not add up, but we're together in this. What's it say in Ecclesiastes? A threefold or a threefold cord is strong. It's not going anywhere. Why? Because it is bound together by some other cords. It's bound together by some other string. That it's strong because we are in. Somebody ought to understand. We're in this together today, and we're stronger together. Somebody ought to know this morning that you are not alone in the fight. You are not alone in the struggle. You are not alone in the valley. That there's a brother and a sister there. That yes, we might be a little weak on our own. It's almost laughable sometimes when we'll think, man, look how weak we are. But when we come together with one another, and the enemy knows that. The enemy completely knows that. And so what he does is he said, man, you don't look like this one.
So we need to put you over here. We need to do all that we... Oh, this one says Winterville on the back. Come on, somebody. This one says Greenville on the back. This is his tactic. That if I can just split up the church, if I can just divide what God meant to put together, if I can just separate them, if I can just get them to bicker about this or that, if I can just get this group upset with this group, then I've finally got a little bit of a foothold, because he knows that when we come together, it's impossible for him to do what it is that he wants to. But the one way to shut it all down, you want to quench the revival? There's a revival taking place in our church right now. It's not coming. We are in revival here in Greenville. God is up to something great in this city, and God is up to something great in this church. But if you want to shut it down in an instant, if you want to quench it or stop it or end the revival, it's to have the flawed idea that I can love my God and also hate my brother. I just don't like them. I just don't need them. I'll just look the other way when they say greet somebody. That somewhere along the way we get the flawed idea that I can love God and talk bad about my brother. That I can love God and be jealous about my brother. That I can love God but yet compete with my brother. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth my brother, he's a liar. That's not me, it's the Bible. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love a God that he has not seen? Matthew 22:36 says, Master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Could you just please summarize it? There's a lot here. Could you just make it really plain and simple? Could you just give us 2 bullet points? And Jesus says, yes, I'll make it really plain and simple. Love the Lord your God with absolutely everything in you, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That you cannot, somebody hear me this morning. You cannot master the art of sonship while ignoring the responsibility of brotherhood. That a rebellious heart drove the prodigal away, but it was a jealous heart that drove the brother away. It was a rebellious heart that drove the prodigal away, but it was a too religious brother. He had turned himself into a Pharisee. I've done all this, and he hasn't done anything. Look at all the great things, and I know he's ruined his inheritance. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning that maybe nobody knows, that maybe nobody has any idea but God. That man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks... And I know that this message is a little personal this morning, but I pray that there would be an individual that would take on the words of David that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why? Because David never got jealous of Saul. It's because he had a prayer life that said, Lord, search me. Saul was the one that was obsessed. Saul was the one that was jealous. Saul was the one that got mad because, hey, hold on a second. I've only killed the thousands, and you're saying he's killed 10? Come on, somebody. We are blood-bought by the king. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. But somebody hear me this morning. A royal family can be destroyed by the spirit of division. It doesn't matter how expensive the crowns are. Somebody hear me. It doesn't matter how expensive the clothing is. It doesn't matter how much of the red carpet they roll out for you. It doesn't matter how nice things are. A royal family can be destroyed by the spirit of division. And so somebody hear me this morning. It's time to get rid of the spirit of competition. It is time to get rid of the spirit of opposition and contention. It's time to get rid of the spirit of rivalries. It's time to get rid of the spirit of bitterness and jealousy. Why? Because we are in this together. We are on the same team fighting for the same goals. Stand with me all across this house. Would you lift up a hand towards heaven right now? Come on, I don't know who it is this morning, but it's time to get rid of that spirit of rivalry. It's time to get rid of that spirit of bitterness. Come on, all across the house, would you lift up a hand towards heaven? And would you just begin to talk to God right now? Would you just begin to say words like, God, search me. God, you see my heart, Lord. You see, Lord Jesus. Come on, I pray that there's somebody that would say, I'm not leaving here today until I pray the spirit of bitterness out of my heart. I pray that there'd be somebody here today that says, I'm not leaving until I pray the jealousy out of my heart. Why? Because that spirit of discord, it'll ruin you. Come on, I know this is a tough sermon to preach, and it's tough to respond to and receive, but God, I pray in the name of Jesus, help us to understand we are one body in one accord, lifting up one Jesus name truth, that this is all about the King of Kings and the Lord. We are on the same team. I believe with everything in me that the revival that we are in right now is just the very beginning. And it's right about now that the enemy will begin to plant and do all that he can to split this up. Well, if I can just get this group upset with this group, and if I can just get this, come on somebody. If I can just begin to sow a little discord between them and them and this, and man, if I can just use this issue as something to divide up the body of Christ, I'm telling you, we are in a great revival, and it's just the beginning. But the pathway to continued revival is for us to say, Lord, help me to have a love for my brother. Help me to have a love for my sister. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's any animosity, Lord, if there's any bitterness, it's when we begin to pray these open and honest prayers of God, search me, and Lord, if there's anything here, forgive me and cleanse me. And here's the response that I'm looking for today. Maybe we don't bounce off the walls in an altar today, but maybe today at 4 p.m., as a response to this word, you pick up your phone. And you begin to make a call to somebody. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I know it's quiet in the house because it's not easy. It might be you coming to an altar and saying, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive. I know it hurts. Come on, somebody. I know it doesn't feel good. I know that it's painful. I know that it's not what my flesh wants to do, but God, help me. I forgive them. And so today, as we begin to pray, as we begin to lift up our voice, I'm encouraging the body of Christ, every individual under the sound of my voice, to make your way to an altar and saying, God, search me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, if there's any animosity, if there's any hatred, if there's any, come on, that's it. If there's any bitterness, Lord, if there's any haughtiness, Lord, if there's any spirit of competition, if there's any spirit of opposition, if there's any spirit of contention, Lord, any spirit of rivalry, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, forgive me, God.